Welcome into Friday's edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas. Throughout the show, I'll be joined by the likes of Craig Burley, Ali Moreno, Julien Laurent, and Gab Marcotti, who's got that exclusive interview with Rocco Commisso. But as always, we start the show by taking a look at how the coronavirus is affecting football around the globe. We focus on that meeting of the Premier League clubs today to discuss how they are going to move forward. Some big takeaways. Committed to playing all remaining domestic league and cup matches. Clubs to consult players regarding a combination of conditions, reductions and deferrals amounting to 30% of total annual remuneration. And they will advance £125 million to funds to the EPL and National League. Let's welcome Julien Laurent into the show. Jules, what did you make of this?
I think we expected it to be a big meeting, and I think it was, and it lasted a long, long time, many hours, for many reasons. First of all, because in the last 48 hours, footballers in the UK have had really bad publicity. People were saying, like, even in the government, why are you not taking any pay cuts? This is not good. You should give some of that money back. You're all millionaires, blah, 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 blah. And I think we expected some sort of decision taken today by not just the Premier League, but also the PFA, the Players Union. And I think they did that. Whether you agree or not, whether you're happy or not with the decision that they took, it's another matter. But at least the £125 million fund, if you want, for the lower league clubs, I think is a very good thing. The fact that they will give the freedom to the players, you can accept a pay cut or deferral, whatever they decide in the end. You can take it or you can leave it. But at least the players will have an option, and from the ones I know, at least they will take it. But also make sure that they don't want the season to be either voided or just abandoned right now.
Jules, there was a lot of talk about what they could conclude regarding getting the season done. We talked about the possibility having some sort of World Cup style thing where each club had their own camp. Also, some suggest you could void the season. Was any of that discussed?
Yes, it was discussed today once again, as we mentioned yesterday, with everyone, pretty much every club, bringing their own idea, their own solution, if you want. I mean, it was reported that even one club mentioned the possibility of playing those remaining games in China, of all places. So really everyone, I mean, I went a bit far yesterday on the show when I said, if you want to play on the moon, you know, we can all go there, including Stephen Nicol. But some people actually mentioned China as a possible location for the remaining game. So I don't think that will happen. But it was a question of everybody pitching their idea. And no decision has been taken yet because it's far too early. We don't even know when we can play football again, if we can. But at least everybody pitched in with their ideas. And at some point, like we said yesterday, and since the beginning of this crisis, they will have to take a decision that won't be perfect and won't please everyone. But once they decide what to do, everybody will have to go with that.
Meanwhile, talk about not pleasing everyone. We spoke yesterday, didn't we, about the Belgium League. Their season is done. It's as it stands. The Dutch League as well, setting a deadline as well to August the 3rd. UEFA have got their knickers in quite a twist over this. They're not happy.
Yes, you're right. And you can understand why. Because on their side, on their point of view, what they need is every league in Europe to be united. So maybe not finishing exactly on the same day, but at least everybody finished the season more or less at the same time. And then you all start the following season more or less at the same time. And everybody is good to go then for the European competition. If leagues around Europe start doing like Belgium and go, do you know what? Our league is done now because all our TV money has been paid. We had one regular season match day left. So that's okay. We had a few playoff games. But again, we can do without those. It won't be a disaster financially if we don't play those. So that works for us. And I think the Dutch League has a very similar idea as well. And if leagues individually start doing that, then this is a disaster for UEFA because that unity suddenly is not there. Cracks appear everywhere. And again, in terms of European competition for UEFA, they need some sort of uniformity to be able to run the European competitions in the right way. And right now, this is slipping away from them and from their hands. So they were very, very quick, I thought, this morning to say, you know what, the Belgian clubs are in danger now to not being allowed back in Europe next season or whenever next season happens because of the decision to end the season earlier. But again, I'm not sure in terms of the law, that UEFA can actually impose Belgium not to finish the league whenever they want and then ban them from European competition next season. I don't think that would be valuable.
Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast is available now to download over on the website. News coming out of Germany today. Hansi Flick has been given a new contract till 2023. You win 18 out of 21 matches. I suppose it's a no-brainer. Craig and Jules with us. Jules, there was never really any doubt, was there?
No, you're right, Dan. There was no any doubt. He had some time to prove himself to Karl-Heinz Rummenigge and to earn that permanent deal, and he did that so well. You said 18 wins in 21. Even the game that they lost in the Bundesliga, they were dominating and should have won that game 9 times out of 10, and that one time they didn't. But we saw an improvement in the way they played, with more intensity, with more movement as well. We also saw players really revealing themselves, like Alphonso Davies, for example, players coming back into the team, like Thomas Müller. And really, the dressing room that was with a lot of unrest under Niko Kovac at the end of October, beginning of November, when Kovac was sacked and Flick came in as number one. And since then, clearly you could see that the happiness has been back in the dressing room as well. So on many levels, he really earned that contract.
Seems to make sense, Craig, yeah?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there was a lot of talk about Nagelsmann from Leipzig, and that was going to be the next move. But, you know, he's done so well, Hansi Flick, as Julian said. You know, domestically, they've been on a great run. You've got the best striker on the planet at the moment, Lewandowski, who's looking as happy as Larry. There's that fantastic performance in the Champions League, and there's been many away at Chelsea. So, absolutely, he deserves. And I think Julian touched on it there, is the players look as if they're enjoying themselves, they're happy. So clearly, not only is he getting his tactics and his team selection generally right, but I think his man management seems to be. And I've always said that's hugely important, particularly with the big egos, the big stars. There's a lot of them at Bayern Munich, and it absolutely makes sense to have that continuity.
So then, Jules, that then now begs the question, how does this all affect the managerial merry-go-round in Europe? Because, so, that's Bayern done, yeah? Many were thinking maybe Thomas Tuchel could go there when PSG lets him go at the end of the season. So what does this mean? Let's focus this now on PSG. Will Tuchel be there next season, or could they look at someone like Mauricio Pochettino, for example?
I think on a PSG point of view, the jury is still out over the Thomas Tuchel next few years. He still has 1 year left on his contract after this one, whenever this one finishes. But you're right, there's a few people that have told us at ESPN that they were not really sure if Tuchel would be there next season. But that means even if he wanted to go to Tuchel, now he could not go to Bayern Munich, whereas before that was an option for him. And a lot of people in Paris could see, okay, he will go to Bayern Munich to replace Flick. That means that we can then go for Allegri or Pochettino or whoever we want to. And then, as you said, the domino effect will start for all those managers, all those benches at big clubs, with also maybe Ten Hag at Ajax potentially leaving Holland to go somewhere else, with Nagelsmann, like Craig just mentioned, at RB Leipzig, maybe going somewhere as well. But now, with Flick staying, you would think, okay, Nagelsmann will surely stay now. Tuchel will probably stay as well. Ten Hag will probably stay at Ajax. And then suddenly it looks like, okay, maybe we'll have pretty much the same people on the same benches next season.
How conceivable is it then, Jules, what will have to happen for Tuchel to leave at the end of the season?
I think that unless he wins the Champions League, which is still possible, I guess, if that competition goes to the end, then he might stay for the last year of his contract. Other than that, it looks like Leonardo, the sporting director in Paris, who, by the way, is not the man who brought Thomas Tuchel to the club. His predecessor, Antero Henrique, who did that. And for Tuchel, I think winning the Champions League is probably the only thing that can save him.
Allegri or Pochettino? Jules?
I think it would be Allegri.
Would that be the right decision, Craig? Is that who you would go for over the two at PSG?
I feel this is really weird, Dan, because we're discussing the possibility of a managerial merry-go-round when we don't know if we're going to finish the season. You know, Thomas Tuchel probably would win Ligue 1. He may win the Champions League with PSG. That's a job saver. But, you know, we're talking about sacking managers, potentially. and the season might not even come to a climax. I mean, that's pretty harsh. In terms of the merry-go-round as well, there is potential for that to happen. You know, we know Allegri's sitting waiting, as you've mentioned. We know Pochettino's sitting waiting. You know, Sarri was getting questioned at Juventus, but again, is the season going to finish? Then we've got the situation at Barcelona. That looks short-term with Kiko Setién. We don't know what's going to happen there. So there are a few potential openings that might arise, but I think anybody who gets sacked, if the seasons in Europe in particular are not able to come to a climax, can feel very harshly done by it. Because they can say, listen, if this season had continued, I would have delivered the Champions League for you, or I would have delivered this for you. And we just can't have that discussion at this moment in time.
Well, just a reminder, you can log on to our YouTube channel. It's my dog barking in the background, by the way, to check out all of our latest videos. Be sure to subscribe.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you, if only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Reports in Spain suggesting that Gareth Bale and James Rodriguez could be on the move and could be reunited with their former manager Carlo Ancelotti at Everton. Of course, these are two players that haven't exactly set the world alight this season. Well, Gab Marcotti is still with us, and we welcome back Craig Burley. Craig, does this make sense to you, Bale and James going to Goodison Park?
Not particularly, no. I think for sure, Carlo Ancelotti is a draw for players. There's not a doubt about that. But I don't think clearly Everton are at the moment for that calibre of player. You know, there's a move to a new stadium, which is, I think, 3 or 4 years off. And Gareth Bale is going to be 31, Dan, this summer. With all the injuries, with the wages, with a couple of years left in his contract, he's stipulated he's quite happy living in Madrid, whether he's playing or not. He likes the lifestyle there. And I really think he would be a bit choosy about which club he came back to, whether they've got a very prominent manager or not. I don't see Everton in a position to entice either of those players, if I'm being honest.
This is all about Carlo Ancelotti, obviously, Gab, and the great relationship he had with those players in the past. Is that all it is, people putting two and two together and coming up with this?
Well, first of all, Carlo Ancelotti has had great relationships with many, many players. In fact, the majority of players he's worked with. I wouldn't say Gareth Bale is top 10 on his list of great relationships. If you'll recall, Jonathan Barnett, the guy who looks after Gareth Bale, had a pop at him and whatnot. James Rodriguez, a bit of a different story. Obviously, he took him to Bayern Munich, as you'll recall. But look, I mean, let's cut through the nonsense here. As Craig says, these guys are in enormous wages. Everton have limited funds. It doesn't matter how rich their owner is and how much money he wants to put in. They still have financial fair play restrictions to respect. And these guys simply don't fit. And then that's before we get into whether, you know, they would want to go and move to Liverpool and play for Everton or whatever else. Because, let's face it, if you're not playing, every footballer wants to play, and the Premier League is alluring. Certainly, I think James Rodriguez wouldn't mind a spin if he's not getting game time. Bale, I don't know. He might be content with his golf. But I just don't see how Everton can pull this off unless it's one of those situations where basically Real Madrid goes and bankrolls the move, and it's some sort of, you know, one of those loans where they play the majority of his wages, as we've seen before with other players.
Well, let's focus on James, Craig. Do you think this could be a move that could possibly reignite his career?
Not particularly. Not unless Carlo Ancelotti is given the ability to go out and really improve that squad. We know before everything closed down, he had done a particularly good job in his short time at the club, and things were looking a little, you know, a lot better for them. But, you know, you got to ask the question, amongst other things, about do either of these players, even if they want game time, want to go into a club at the moment, unless the playing staff has a big turnaround, are going to be what? You know, 7th or 8th in the Premier League, maybe mid-table, trying to get up towards those European places. That's not really going to be able to showcase the talents, I don't think, of somebody like James Rodriguez. I don't think that's the kind of player they're looking for. And I think that kind of luxury player for Ancelotti at this time and for Everton isn't really enticing. So I don't see it. I think the likes of Bale, and particularly James Rodriguez, Dan, need a better platform at the moment. Don't forget, he's no spring chicken either, James Rodriguez. He's in his late 20s. So it's now for him, rather than going in somewhere that's going to take, well, quite a bit of time to build a proper team up.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest news in the transfer market. You can go over to Transfer Talk on the website. It started so brightly, didn't it, for Mauro Icardi at PSG, but this calendar year has gone downhill and quick. We welcome back Julien Laurent to the show. Ali Moreno with us as well. Ali, I'll speak to you about this in a moment, but Jules, I want to start with you and just talk about, well, where's it all gone wrong for Icardi?
It's a good question, Dan, because as you said, it started all so well. I mean, the stats are still very decent, 20 goals in 31 games. However, since the end of the year, since the end of 2019, things have really gone downhill, as you said. I think fitness-wise, first of all, he had a few issues, little injuries, but also because he never really did a proper pre-season workout and preparation, because he was in conflict with Inter Milan at the time before his loan move to PSG late in August. I think that physically he struggled to keep the same level of intensity of effort that he had for the first 3 months of the season after he arrived, so September, October, November. After that, he really started to struggle. I think also because his game is all about those almost one-touch finishes all the time and being at the right place at the right time all the time, I think PSG had other options with Mbappe, with Neymar, and I think he struggled a bit with that. He was less and less involved in the games when he was not scoring, and I think Tuchel thought, maybe I need something else up there, someone who gets involved a bit more in the build-up play, in the linker play as well. And I think little by little, it looked like Cavani was coming back into the fold, really, and then at some point got his place back in the team.
It's amazing, isn't it, Ali? Because there's very little doubt. This guy is one of the best on the planet when he's at his best.
Yes, but this is a story of a player that we have seen before, where when things are going well and everything's smooth for Icardi, and Jules, you alluded to it, and he is in the right place at the right time and he's scoring goals, everybody's happy. He's happy, his agent and wife Wanda Nara is happy, everything's going smoothly. The problem with Icardi, and we have seen this now over the course of his career, is that when things start taking a turn south, and maybe he's not getting the playing time that he thinks he deserves or that he wants, or he's getting injured and there's a little adversity, and now he's not the first choice guy that he was early on for PSG, then we see not only the drop in productivity, but then we start seeing the malcontent, and then Wanda Nara is talking, and then it becomes a vicious cycle that we have seen over the course of his career. And so then if you're a club like PSG, you start asking the question, is this another headache that we need? And do we really want this in our club? We got enough of a pain in the backside with Neymar, but he's worth it because his talent builds him that much equity. Icardi, not nearly as much. And so therefore, you start saying, long term, do we really want this and have to deal with this, with Icardi, with his agent, with his wife? It's a whole full package that comes with Icardi. And if he's not scoring goals, that is not a package that you want to carry around with your club.
Meanwhile, it's 2 years to the day since Cristiano Ronaldo produced that spectacular bicycle kick. And over on the website, everyone talking about the best goal they've ever witnessed. They had to be in the stadium for it to count. Ali Moreno, I'm imagining it's a Juan Arango effort, isn't it?
There were a lot of Juan Arango efforts that were very, very impressive. However, I got to say, of the ones that I've been in a stadium for, and this is not one in which I was a player for, I was actually calling the game, and it was World Cup qualifiers for the Brazil 2014 World Cup when we were following Mexico. Mexico against Panama in Azteca Stadium in a game that Mexico needed to win. And Raul Jimenez scores this bicycle kick out of nowhere in the second half of the game. A game-winning bicycle kick, and I'm telling you, that stadium was about to calm down. 100,000 people, or however many people were there, it was electric, it was thunderous. It was clean contact by Raul Jimenez, an important goal. The moment, the event, the sequence, what Mexico needed at that moment, and then Raul Jimenez comes up with something that nobody saw coming. It was something spectacular.
My neighbor's dog disagrees with you, but I think that's a good one, Ali. You can check out what everyone has to say according to the best goal they've ever witnessed. Be sure to go over to the website. Shut up, dog! Let's welcome back Craig and Gav without the dog. We'll continue on the same conversation, boys. Craig, you first off, the best goal that you've ever seen in person.
Well, I don't know if it's the best goal that I've ever seen in person, but it's the best goal I can remember because, as you know, my memory's not the best. And when the producer asked me today, I thought, well, I tried to wrap my brains for a bit, and then I couldn't really remember that many. But one that stood out for me was a game that I played in. Was an Old Firm game against Rangers at Celtic Park in January 98, which was a historic season for both clubs. Rangers going for their 10th title in a row and Celtic trying to stop that. And Paul Lambert's goal to give us a 2-0 win and really seal the deal at the end of the game was an amazing strike, particularly because it was on the half volley, the reaction from the crowd, and more so because Paul wasn't a goal scorer. And it was just one of those, it dropped out the air, a poor clearance, a half volley, went in the top corner past Andy Gorham, and it really was a fantastic goal. And it capped off a great day and a special day all round. So that's one that sticks in the memory.
Did you score in that game as well?
Well, I wasn't going to bring that up, but now since you brought it up,
ah!
Yes, I did. Thank you.
It's all right, you told me to. Gab, your best goal.
Again, like Craig, I feel like I forgot a lot, but one that I'm never going to forget was at the old Wembley. This was back when Arsenal, they were still at Highbury. Highbury, if you've ever been there back in the day or even today when it's a bunch of flats, they didn't have the requirements of being an official Champions League stadium. So for the Champions League, Arsenal had to play at Wembley. They were playing Fiorentina, and we saw, I think, Gabriel Batistuta do what he does best. You know, seizing the ball from on a pass from Jörg Heinrich, sort of slipping, confusing Nigel Winterburn, and then just viciously slamming the ball under the crossbar from a very, very tight angle. I mean, this is back at the time when Batigol was in his pomp, when he was a Lion King, and it was so emotional. And obviously, not long after that, of course, he decamped to Roma.
They've asked me for mine as well, Gab. It was a game that you were at, the Champions League final a couple of years ago, Gareth Bale's overhead kick. That was a bit special as well.
It certainly was. And I think I had completely forgotten about that goal. I think what's a bit different, maybe, about that goal is obviously that was on a much bigger stage. That was a Champions League final and whatnot. And I think also what made that a little bit special is that, you know, Gareth Bale really came on in that final, and but he'd had a tough spot earlier in that campaign.
Dan Thomas picks a goal from Real Madrid whilst hosting the ESPN FC show from his home in a Real Madrid top with Gareth Bale on the back. There you go.
How did you know I was wearing that underneath? How did you see that? Thank you very much, boys. Just a reminder, we'll have the weekend off. ESPN FC will, though, be back on Monday.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Giveback, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Napa Know-How.
Father's Day knickknacks, that funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali Moreno with me. Now, it was supposed to be Julian Laurent, but his equipment ran out of battery. So off the subs bench once again, I think for the second time this week, Craig Burley is with us.
I'm not in my car in the golf club car park this time. I can't tell you.
Where are you now?
I'm back in my basement, and somebody spotted something on I'm in the basement in front of the fireplace again. You can't make this up. It was colleagues of ours from ESPN came round a couple of weeks ago and installed, like they did in all the boys' houses, installed some very expensive equipment that took them hours to put up. And every time I do this, I'm sat in the basement in front of the fireplace on Skype. It just seems a giant waste of time them even coming round in the first place.
Yeah, someone was wondering about a bottle that was on your mantelpiece.
Yeah, well, I don't use the basement. My wife's been using it, which is why I did today's show. If for those that would notice, I did it from my dining room because it was photos of the kids when they were younger. Because my wife was doing, and this is very boring, and I'm just telling you, she was doing a virtual yoga class downstairs in the basement here because that's what they all do. So I'm not sure about that. But I wasn't allowed down, so I'm back down. There was a bottle on the thing up here, the top of the mantelpiece, which I'm not sure what was in it, but I can tell you it wasn't mine, whatever it was, because I don't come down here very often.
Okay, then. Right.
I can tell Ali's been really interested in that couple of stories there.
Well, I mean, between the virtual yoga and the...
Me and Ali have been waiting for hours for Jules' lighting.
I mean, there's a lot to take in.
I tell you what, Jules is really getting on my nerves. I tell you what, right? We come on the other day, before we came on here, he said to me, he says, "Hey, Craig," he says, "I didn't realise Scotland had never got out of the group stage at a major tournament." I went, "Yeah, well, everybody else knows that, Jules, but yeah, thanks for that anyway." Anyway, is there any chance you can charge your battery at the house, sort your Wi-Fi out, and get your camera right? Because every time we go to do something, there's a problem. We did it again today. We had to step down about three times because he kept freezing in the background. Bloody journalists. What have I always said to you, Dan, about this show? Too many bloody journalists on this show. There's too many journalists. They're nothing but problems.
I have a question, Dan.
They're supposed to be the smart ones.
Yeah. Quick question, Dan. Did we not have any other option for a super sub? I'm merely asking the question.
Stevie could have been a super sub, but he could have been engrossed in several different activities, one of which would have definitely excluded him from coming on this extra time. And the other side of it is, if you want to be here till like 9 o'clock tonight, well, he sorts out the technical side of it on a last-minute call. That's up to you.
Yep.
Any questions?
Meanwhile, Shaka is pretending that his Wi-Fi doesn't work.
What the hell's up with Shaka? By the way, I'm worried about Shaka. Is Shaka okay? Because the last time I saw him, he was looking well, but he was wearing a pair of bloody hideous glasses. What the hell? Did he get them off Will.i.am or something? Where the hell did he get them?
We haven't seen him since he lost the quiz. That was it.
Oh, well, it's a lasting memory for him. It marked him. It broke his heart and broke his will. That's what I do. Yeah, you bring a super quiz to
Here
me,
we go,
I
then.
Destroyed
Here
him,
we go.
He hasn't been the same since.
If you took Manchester City and Liverpool out of the Premier League, who would you say would win it? Craig.
Who's third when we stopped?
Leicester.
Chelsea.
Chelsea. Ali.
I was gonna go with Manchester United, but if you took Manchester City and Liverpool out of the equation, those are teams in against which or against whom Manchester United seems to play better. So if they're not in the picture, then Manchester United goes on and loses some points against some other team that they shouldn't lose points to, and therefore they come second to Chelsea.
Listen, is everybody else, Dan, I presume everybody else is having the same issue during this kind of lockdown period. Well, not quite in lockdown, we're allowed out of the house, but is it just me, I presume not, that everybody seems to be going in the fridge a little bit more than normal? Is that a safe bet? People are eating a little bit more.
because everyone's just bored.
Yeah, so if we're doing that, what the hell's happening at the Nicol household? If we're going in the fridge more, what's happening? What's he doing? He must be living in the fridge. He's moved his bed into the fridge. That's what he's done.
Well, he gave us a full breakdown of what a shepherd's
who's
pie
better,
is
Ali?
And different variations of the shepherd's pie and how he's been
able to put those
ingredients together, but was complaining about the fact that it wasn't a full shepherd's pie. It's just variations of what a full shepherd's pie looks like.
Well, he phoned up from
minced meat.
He phoned up from the golf club the other day because he wanted to, you know, we have a $30 minimum that gets charged to our card anyway, whether we spend it or not in the bar, as you know. And so come the end of the month, he wanted to use it up, Stevie being Stevie. So he called the restaurant, which is obviously just doing sort of takeout, from his phone on the 17th hole. And they didn't have what he was looking for because it's a limited menu at the moment. So he's next. I heard him in the cart behind me, obviously separate carts. I heard him say, all right, so you haven't got that. He says, so have you got shepherd's pie? And I thought, oh, for God's sake, I'm a wrestler. I'm being serious. And he came down and he said to me, he says, they've only got burgers. And he said, a few hours. And I said, well, you know, what do you want? I said, there's a limited menu at the moment. I heard you ask for shepherd's pie. They haven't got it. But he did get a couple of burgers. So he was happy that he didn't get charged $30 without getting any food. Amazing.
Ali, who's better, Sergi Busquets or Xavi Alonso?
Ooh. I'm going to take, at his best, Sergio Busquets. Yesterday we talked about who the two-man midfielder that I would take, and I said and I mentioned Xavi and Iniesta, and Steven made a point of the fact that it could be Xavi and Iniesta because they had Busquets behind them. And I would tell you, for a guy that doesn't play a whole lot of defense and doesn't win a whole lot of tackles, Sergio Busquets was able to manage and control the pace of the game for Barcelona and be that natural outlet from the back line in a way that not many central midfielders are able to do around the world. So at his best, I would take Sergio Busquets.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree because I think if we're talking about a range of passing, Xabi Alonso certainly had the better range of passing. I saw him commentated on him many times when he was at Liverpool. And his vision was incredible. But I think for the all-round package that Busquets had, the protection, the success, and the longevity that he's had, I would probably say Sergio Busquets, but Alonso's passing was just incredible.
Ali, if you were a manager, what style of play would you want to implement?
About winning. That's what I would care about, winning. And using the players that I have available to the best of their abilities and trying to maximize what I have available in those players rather than complain about the players that I don't have or I may want to have. I have what I have in my personnel. I'm going to put them out there in a situation where they can be successful. And whatever that style may be, it has to suit the players that you have in your locker room.
Craig, who do you think should enter the Premier League Hall of Fame first? Dennis Bergkamp or Didier Drogba?
Can I give my stock answer that I normally give? What, two words. Dan, what are they?
Not bothered.
Correct. However,
Oh, come on. You can't give me a not bothered for that.
I'm not bothered. But I'm more bothered about anything behind
me. That's a good question. That's a good question.
Yes, I'm not saying it's not a good question. I'm more worried about anything behind me that's incriminating. So I've had a little scan around and I can't see anything. So I'm back on an even keel. I would say, you never know what's in your basement. You got a 21-year-old boy down here doing weights. You got to check everything out. I would say I loved them both, but I thought Dennis Bergkamp, different players, but Bergkamp is an amazing talent. So I would say Dennis Bergkamp. What's up with you?
I want to say something, but I like working here. I need the money. If you were a manager, what star? Oh, wait, no, sorry, that's completely thrown me. Right, Ali, Bergkamp.
Are you okay? Dennis Bergkamp.
I'll tell you later.
Such a pleasure to watch him play. Guy that just glided through the field, elegant as elegant could be, smart, intelligent, and what a finisher he was. Just a classy player.
Should Lautaro Martinez choose Chelsea or Barcelona as the next club to play for? Craig.
Come on. What
kind of question
Come
is that?
Come on, you got a chance to go to Barcelona, Real Madrid. You jump at it, so you know if he's going to. It's not even a choice. As good a club as Chelsea are, I mean, it's Barca all day, every day.
Finally, Craig, are you taking part in any home workouts?
Virtual yoga.
Well, I'm banned from the virtual yoga. I'm banned from that. I haven't got the correct attire from the virtual yoga, but I can tell you it was going on just down here to my left, but I've got no photos. What I can tell you, and I'm definitely not taking part in this, Dan, what I can tell you, because the gyms have closed, as you know, I don't really bother with you. I've got the one at ESPN now and again, but now the gyms have closed. My son...
Yeah,
who's 21? Is it just, and you know, you've seen him. You know what size
the aforementioned 21-year-old.
Yeah, he's 6'3" / 6'4". He's like, he's massive. He's just so. And well, him and his mate in the other side of the basement, down where I am, he's got a lot of gym equipment, and I can tell you, they've been dead. Deadlifting or whatever when they lift it up their knees and drop it. Because we are sitting upstairs and you want to hear these things. You want to hear these things hitting the floor. He was telling his mum how much is on it. I don't know what it was, but it was a lot of weight, put it that way. And I saw him come upstairs the other day and he's...
I'm sure you tolerate the noise well.
No, I do. Well, there's a reason I tolerate the noise well. Is because he's 230 pounds and he'll throw me out the bedroom window. Right, that's why I tolerate it. I just said to him, just make sure you've got a mat down, so because in the second part of the basement down there, it's concrete. I said, Jesus Christ, this stuff's going to go through the concrete because they're lifting a heck of a lot of weights. So I don't partake in that. If driving a golf cart at the golf club is exercise, then that's the exercise I'm getting at the moment.
Yeah,
all right.
Ali, what are you doing exercise-wise?
I work out with my son, who has some sort of workout program from his soccer club, and they put it together for him, and I do it with him as much as I can. And the other day we went through a core workout. That was fun. It was really fun the day after. I wasn't sore at all. Didn't feel anything.
I can tell you that I put in a lot of work
with him to kind of help out so that he's not doing stuff on his own.
I'm working my tries as we speak, right? I'm doing it. There we go. One, two, three. My back's gone.
We're done. Have a great weekend, guys. Just a reminder, we'll be back here on Monday. Careful of the old back. Thank you very much, Super Sub Craig and Ali. Enjoy the weekend, guys. We'll see you next week.